The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Fans, can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Welcome back, everyone. Nick, the voice here, joined by Jeremy Schilling and Charlie Smith. We are the Bastards of Boston, talking about the Boston Red Sox yet again. The interest kings are striking back with more interest and more players. Right now, the big rumor going around is the Michael King sweepstakes. It seems that after losing out on Alonso and even Polanco, not that an offer was even issued to Polanco, it seems that the Red Sox are maybe pivoting towards looking at adding more starting pitching after all. I don't disagree with that move necessarily. Michael King is an interesting name. Definitely one of the big free agents that we all had our eyes on mid-season. The question is, will we get him? And do we even want him? The Orioles are also in, according to the rumors. The Yankees are in, according to the rumors. What's your guys' stance on Michael King? The big red flags that I know off the top of my head are coming off an injury. Not a particularly great year. After recovering from that injury. And of course, he has a qualifying offer attached, which adds a little bit of risk. Do you guys want the King? We'll start with Jeremy, go to Charlie, then back to me.
So I'm just going to start like bigger picture before I go specific to the player. I can't stand this prove it deal. He's going to need a prove it deal. He's coming off an injury or a bad year. And let's use the Red Sox to pivot so that if he does the Giolito thing, he can go get a multi-year deal and kind of make his money with somebody else. I hate it. I hate it. I'm so sick and tired of it. It's such a loser mentality from the front office. And it's also it's so egotistical because they think the pitching program here is somehow going to like fix anybody that's had an issue. Like, we are literally going to the recycling pile to improve our roster. Why? We're the Boston Red Sox. I'm not. They are. But you should, and you have the most revenue in baseball. You have an owner who owns like 17 professional sports teams. And yet we are a small market club. This is how the Devil Rays build a team. This is how the Pirates build a team. The Marlins. That's what we're acting like. And we're always involved in these things with like the Phillies are interested, the Yankees are interested, heaven forbid the Dodgers are interested. Anytime any of those names are attached to the interest, you're not going to get them because you're cheap. And lastly, I am at the point when I see Red Sox are interested in blank by Sean McAdams or Cotillo or whoever, I just don't believe it. This is not me just saying it for the podcast. I read it. I go, yeah, no, they're not. And then I just flick right by it. I give it no extra attention because it doesn't deserve any extra attention. This is the most tired, rinse and repeat offseason that I can imagine because in previous years, I've said some of these things, but I know what's going on. I know the playbook. There's nothing here that surprises me. If one of those other teams I mentioned, you could put in the Mets, you could put in anybody else. If those teams are seriously interested, you're not going to get the player. You're only going to get a player the way they got, and I can't remember, the guy they got where they got him a two-year deal. The first year, he wasn't even going to pitch.
Paxton?
He wasn't even going to pitch because he was hurt. And so the way they got him is no one else would give him a two-year deal. So they said, Yeah, like $1 million for the first year, and then we'll give you whatever it was for the second year. It's.
Was it Paxton? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, it wasn't Paxton. I can't remember.
Because we've done it with like three or four guys. We've done it with James Paxton, where he didn't end up pitching the first year. Then he pitched the second one and then opted out. Lucas Giolito got a 2-year deal. He ended up getting injured, though, the first year. It wasn't his fault. That happened.
Well, he was
right, right, right. So that happened. But we just did it with Sandoval. He missed the first year, recovered.
Sandoval.
Oh, okay, sure. That was the most recent one that we did it with. Liam Hendricks was a reliever, didn't pitch the first year, and then came back the second year. So we've been doing this charity contract shit, for the lack of a better term. I'm kind of over it. I'm sick of it. This is like the Boston Mid Sox now. It's absolutely disgusting. I'm so over it. Michael King, if other teams are in on it, like you, Jens, have already mentioned, we're not going to get him. I was just saying earlier, and I had to look it up because I was curious to know, if we're going to try to pretend like we're going to go for players and stuff, we're going to be going for players that no one's mentioned and no one has talked about. All the teams have discarded them, haven't offered them contracts, didn't tender them anything. Adolis Garcia, completely thrown away by Texas. They're not going to go for him. Go sign him. Go get him a contract. He's a power hitting right-handed bat, can play in the outfield. You're going to possibly need that if you end up trading one of your outfielders that's been tinkered with. You're possibly trading your right fielder to get Tarik Skubal. You're going to get somebody else. I don't know. Adolis Garcia slots in at right field if you're going to get rid of your right fielder. That's one. You need a backup catcher because I don't really know if I can trust the Connor Wong journey and experience. That's like trusting Helen Keller to, like, sorry, but like drive the bus full of children. I don't think it's smart. I think it's really dangerous. Go get Jonah Heim. He's at least a proven talent that can get it done. He's probably not going to require that much. I'm absolutely infuriated with this team. We've gotten nothing. You're being outbid by literally teams that have no merit, nothing, awful like ownership, and they're making you look like you're the worst team in all of baseball. You have spent $0. Your biggest prize is signing players that other people didn't want. Congratulations. Why stop there? Why wouldn't you try to get someone that can actually do something? James Krinchak was the guy that I was talking about earlier before the show went on. And I was curious to know, like, what was going to happen. You know, what could it be to get like James Krinchak? James Krinchak ended up signing a minor league deal with the Braves. They're going to test him out as a starter with Gwinnett. That's their AAA club or farm team. But I mean, any single time there's a name that gets uttered, it's just going to be uttered. You know, Contreras is not going to come to Boston. That would require the Red Sox to, I don't know, think outside the box. We're not doing that. And if anybody thinks that another team is going to say, oh, you know what? Sure, we'll take Yoshida's full contract in full. Absolutely, we'll take that off your hands. Oh, you want that guy? Sure. It's only going to cost you Marcelo Mayer, Jaron Duran. And yeah, by the way, his contract expires at the end of 2026. If you're going to be serious, I hate to say it, you're probably losing one of those big out. You're losing either right fielder, you're losing your center fielder. That's going to happen regardless. You're going to lose Marcelo Mayer if you're trying to get Tarik Skubal. It's going to be an insane package. It's going to be 5 or 6 players. You're probably losing Conley Early or Peyton Tolley. I don't want to lose Early, but I know Jeremy said will probably assist both of them packing their bags because they're not proven talent or whatever. So it's going to be 5 or 6 people that go, but like, get the deal done. I don't know why we're still playing these like bleep games here. You know, there are so many people that are already off the market now. Go get the ones that are still there. The ones that everyone else is like, nah, they're going to sign a minor league deal. Why don't you beat everyone to the punch? Go sign those players to the minor league deals and then elevate them to the major league team because we know there's no one else there. So it's just, I mean, I'm so frustrated with this entire team. It doesn't help that I feel like absolute crap, but like, I feel better than what the Red Sox are doing to their fans. It's embarrassing. Like, this is not even a mid team. You're now hoping to be the fourth place team in the American League East. How sad is that? That's embarrassing. You know, San Diego just got bled. They lost Dylan Cease. Michael King is probably going. Robert Suarez, their closer, is gone. He went to, I think it was Atlanta for a 2 or 3 year deal. Cease was 7 for $210. Michael King's probably going to get a dumb contract too. The Padres are getting bled out. we're not getting bled out. We're also not making, I mean, that's a team that's like, yeah, sure, please take any of the players that, you know, aren't going to be signing long-term with our team. That's another dumpster fire. We are embarrassing. Jeremy, what was the tweet you said about our roster? Or you said, what was our...
Yeah, like the next day after we were eliminated, I texted our projected lineup, and it's essentially coming true because they haven't upgraded right. any of the spots with any of the players that we had targeted. So, I mean, like I said to you guys before the show, I'm not like a big guy, like I'm right type of thing. Like I don't want to, but it's just, the reason why I brought it up pre-show was because that's how predictable this was. You know, it's not like it was some like outlandish take. I just looked at recent history and that's what it is. And Nick, I'll turn it over to you in a second, but I want to say one more thing. One of the things that's just absolutely driving me nuts, and it jogged my memory when Charlie talked about Early and Toley and how I'm a big fan of a bird in the hand's worth way more than two in the bush, is I can't remember if it was Carabas. I don't think it was Carabas. I think it was one of the other local guys were like, well, I never expected them on Schwarber because he had the qualifying offer and we would have lost a draft pick. I'm sorry. What? We didn't want Schwarber because we were going to lose a draft pick? Are you kidding me? You're so worried about a draft. We're not even talking about a minor leaguer that's shown promise. You're talking about a kid that's playing high school baseball or college baseball right now. There's no projection that he's going to ever help the Red Sox. And you're talking about worrying about losing the draft pick over Schwarber, who's going to hit 45 home runs in Fenway Park? Like, and the meat, and I'm going to get into it later. I'm going to save the rest of this for later because, Nick, I wanted to give you a chance. But are you kidding me? The fact that this beat writer said that seriously and was like, okay with it, I'll do more on this later, but that just blew my mind.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're going to say that Schwarber is off the table because of a qualifying offer, that means everyone with a qualifying offer is off the table. I mean, Michael King, like we just said, it's virtually every top free agent right now, except for Bellinger and Bregman, have qualifying offers attached. If you want Kyle Tucker, if you want Bo Bichette, if you got Ranger Suarez in your sights, you've got to pay the toll, unfortunately. Teams aren't going to let those guys up. And I agree with you. For a quality player, a qualifying offer shouldn't scare away a team like the Red Sox, especially when the young talent is already there. And I think that that's something that, you know, is sort of on my mind, is the idea that this team has kind of put almost too much stock in its young talent, I think. You know, how long did we hear that the big three and then the big four prospects were going to save the day? They were going to ride in and they were going to usher in a new era of Boston baseball. But Kyle Teal gets traded. Already, we're regretting that, right? As much as, you know, I have faith in Narvaez, sure thing, I like the guy. But Breslow must not, because he's inquiring about Teal, according to the rumors. He wants a backsies. You know, you don't do take backsies in the MLB.
It's so embarrassing.
It's ridiculous. It is embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing to go crawling. It's like crawling back to your ex-girlfriend and saying, please take me back. You can't do that. It's humiliating. Roman Anthony looks legit, but he looks to be the only one because Marcelo Meyer has all of these injury concerns. I love the dude's talent. I love the dude's composure, but you have to worry about whether he is going to be able to give you 150 games in a season. You really don't know. At this point, he's struggling to give you 150 games across two seasons. Christian Campbell, we're counting on making a big comeback. He's signed to a nice lucrative deal, you know, very team friendly, unless he's a total bust, in which case it's not so team friendly at all. So now that we have the young kids here, the whole idea is you have the young talent, and not to mention all the young pitchers, right? Dobbins, Early, Toley, Harrison. You have all these young guys, you're supposed to supplement them with veteran talent. You underpay the guys in their early years so you can overpay other guys to fill in the holes in your roster. And that seems to be something that the Red Sox are completely averse to doing. And because of that, we're not going to get Pete Alonso batting fourth for us. We're not even going to get Jorge Polanco batting. We are going to probably have Tristan Casas at first base. And at this point, we're probably going to see a healthy amount of Nick Sogard in a starting position for this team. That's just the nature of the beast right now. And before I swing it back around to you guys, what you said is absolutely true. The whole modus operandi of the Red Sox lately has been to be the rehabilitation center of the MLB. We say, come here, revitalize your career, and go get a payday somewhere else. We did it with Paxton, like you mentioned. We did it with Giolito. We're doing it with Sandoval right now. I like Sandoval. I think he's probably going to have a decent year. I have enough faith in that. You know, I think he can be a nice starting pitcher. And assuming he does have a nice starting year for us, he's probably going to get a nice payday from another team. You're going to see the same exact thing with Alex Bregman. If he doesn't come back to the team, it's the same thing. Bueller, the one-year deal, it's driving me absolutely ballistic. Because I am not entirely averse to prove it deals. Oh yeah, one-year deal here. I can enjoy that. You know, I think that's savvy. But if that's all you do, you're not going to have success. And right now, Breslow had that quote a few days ago, how he thought it was unfair that the Red Sox were being characterized as having an aversion to free agency, as having a bad reputation when it came to free agency. Well, until you add a significant player on a significant deal in free agency, not Aroldis Chapman on 2 years, as good a deal as that was, not Walker Buehler on one, certainly not, you know, Alex Bregman on 3 years, but actually it's 2 years, but actually it's 1 year. And now we need to figure out what we're doing there. It's just, until you get over that hump, people are going to attribute an aversion to free agents to you. You're going to earn a bad reputation. And honestly, it is earned. You know, earned is the right word for it, because Breslow has no one to blame but himself for his own predicament. That's really what I would say.
So I want to pivot, because something's been bothering me. Two things. One, there's a certain segment of the fan base that just blindly supports the moves of the fan base. And like, when we criticize, the Bostons criticize the moves, it's like we're a lousy fan, you know? And, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, maybe older. I don't know. Born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s on the Sox. And that's what we did. We were always critical of the team. And I'm wondering why, when a fan of the team is critical, they get criticized. And it's because I grew up on Shaughnessy, who was always ripping Boston sports teams, always. And I didn't like him for a time. But like, this iteration of media does nothing but pander for this team. Nothing but pander for this team. It is exhausting to see tweets from, and I'm not going to name names, but tweets from the same guys with the same interest, Kings BS, and the fan base eats it up. Read the comments. It's like it's already done. So what I think is happening is the modern fan base of the Boston Red Sox are an extension of the way this team is covered. There's no criticism from the beat writers. If you want criticism, you have to go to WEEI. You have to go to 98.5. You have to go to Boston's A Bastard Baseball. So it just blows my mind that there's such a large portion of this fan base that's okay with what's happening. It's like John Henry's money is their money. It's unbelievable. It's unfathomable from my perspective. And again, I know I'm older, but like John, or I'm not John. John's money is his money. And at the end of the day, he could do with it what he wants. It's why I want him to sell the team. Go make money selling Dunder Mifflin paper. I'm so sick and tired of this being okay. Like, this offseason's pathetic. Everyone around you is getting better. The Orioles are getting better. The Yankees are going to be better than you. The Blue Jays are the clear-cut favorite. And that's not to say, that's just the East. So it's just, I don't know what, like, we need somebody else covering the team that's going to go into a press conference and ask a critical question and demand a critical answer. Call Sam Kennedy out when he says something that's inconsistent with real life. Call him out. Same thing with Breslow. You know, at least Cora will sit in there and answer for in-game issues during the season. But like, he doesn't have to answer this time of year. It's not his job. It's just, I'm so tired by it. And I saw some comments this week that just set me off. Like, I'm not allowed to be critical of the team, and we're not covering the team you want us, the way you want us to cover it. Get out of here. I'm done.
I mean, how do you follow that?
I didn't anticipate you that going in. My bad.
No. Here's the thing, though. Everything you said is absolutely accurate. And
I try to only be accurate, Charlie.
What's up?
I try to only be accurate.
That's better than, you know, Sam Kennedy and Breslow and literally everybody else. Like, don't say one thing and then do something different. I'm trying so hard not to swear. And I said S-H-I-T, and I'm the big don't use bad language on this pod. Everyone's older, so, you know, whatever. But
Charlie, while you're collecting your thoughts, let me make this point. Would you enjoy coverage of the Boston Red Sox better if Cotillo or McAdams or whoever else, instead of just tweeting that there's interest, discussing the actual likelihood of this ownership and this team actually signing the player? And I understand that it's about clicks, and I understand everything's driven by viewership, views, and money. I get it. But there isn't anybody out there that wants to have that sort of analysis. You know, and maybe I'm not clicking the article and it's in there. And if that's the case, then that's fine. But like, it's eye rolling at this point. It's just Red Sox showing interest in fill in the blank. You know, here's the other potential suitors. But like, come on. Anyways, I'm done again.
There's a real, like, you know, do it or get off the pot type of thing too, situation where you can't help but feel that maybe a little too much time goes by between Breslow having an idea and actually executing on it, because opportunities are dwindling at the end of the day. These names are flying off the free agency, you know, list. You have really the only plausible impact bats that the Red Sox have been tied to. You have Bregman and Bichette in terms of free agency additions that are going to help you in the infield. You have Suarez, who I don't like. You have Murakami, who I don't like. You have Okamoto, who I like, but I don't necessarily think is the answer. And meanwhile, when it comes to actually trading, you know, you saw us tied to the Royals for a time, right? For example, the Royals were looking for an outfielder. I thought Duran was an excellent fit for Kansas City. I had my eyes on Chris Bubich during the last, you know, trade deadline. Of course, he got injured, unfortunately. I think he only has 1 year of control. Excuse me, 1 year of control left. Anyway, I saw a lot of people speculating, oh, well, maybe Duran for Reagans, maybe we can figure something out. Well, guess what? Just the other day, in fact, just today, I think it was actually made official, is the Brewers made the trade while the Red Sox were waiting. The Brewers sent Isaac Collins and Nick Mears, who are both players I like. I think the Royals made out in that for Angel Zerpa, or Angel, however it's pronounced. And so the Royals now have their outfielder. They don't need Duran. You know, maybe they'd like him. I'm sure they'd make room for a player like that. But when you're talking about leverage in terms of what a team needs and what you have, suddenly the leverage is shifting away from the Red Sox and towards other teams. The Royals can say, well, you know, you want Reagans. Now, instead of saying, oh, well, you're giving us a 4-5 war, maybe outfielder. Okay. That helps us, you know, to the tune of 4-5 wins. Now it's like, well, we already have like a 2-3 war outfielder. So really, you're only helping us for 2 wins, you know, if you really think about it. And suddenly the return becomes worse. It's just like, I want to see some initiative. And it's a shame because the Sonny Gray trade, as much as it can be seen as a symptom, rightfully so, a symptom of Breslow's indecisiveness, a lack of willingness to spend John Henry's money, whether it's, you know, a direct order from up above, it did show an ability to sort of go out there and do something creative and out of left field. No one saw it coming, and maybe it's going to set us up for a good offseason, but you have to follow through. And at this point, Breslow is not following through. We see Bregman, you know, did you see he just removed the Red Sox from his Instagram profile picture the other day?
I can't stand that immaturity. Don't do that.
I know.
Professional athlete. Like,
I know. If you're going to do that, do it day one of free agency. You know what I mean? If you're going to do it at all. But, you know, you have Bregman, you have Bichette, who's probably going to go back to Toronto, if we're being honest.
He's going back to Toronto.
And, you know, who are we stuck with? We are now scrounging for scraps. We are looking for a first baseman. And honestly, we're just going to end up getting Tristan Casas again, unless we do pull out a trade for, you know, Wilson Contreras, Brendan Donovan. Maybe we trade for both of them, but it comes across as less of a great, brilliant idea that Breslow had and more of a desperate move that Breslow had to make because plan A failed, plan B failed, plan C failed. And now we're like, oh, how do we salvage this burning wreckage?
It feels like he has to win every trade. You know, let me ask you guys a question, okay? we'll take a real trade. Crochet and the package that included Teal. All right, so we get Crochet, they get Teal, and now we want them back. It's embarrassing. I'm not going to bring it up. Is anybody going to be upset for what the price was if he continues on the path that he's on? Like, let's say he wins a Cy Young, they win a World Series. He's like Red Sox Hall of Fame type of guy. Are we going to go back and say, but Teal hit 300 home runs? And let's say Teal is very successful. Let's say he wins a World Series with the White Sox. Like, sometimes you have to take that risk, and it's okay. No one's going to come back and say,
no,
if you're a player of that caliber. Now, when you do it with Betts with a bag of trash, yeah, you're going to get that. But, like, if you want to go identify a player and overpay to make sure he's your guy and he's the guy and he does what he's supposed to do, no one's going to go back and be like, yeah, but. Like, you got a stud. You got a guy that made a real difference.
Jeremy. I don't think anybody in their right mind who really truly understands what needs to be done would say that, because in order to get something really effing great, and I mean Cy Young great, you have to give something with the expectation that it could be very great or better, right? So when I think of like worst deals that the Red Sox have done or been involved in, I'm not thinking about Babe Ruth. I could care less. I think of Jeff Bagwell, who ended up being one of the best first basemen ever. And we got, I think it was Larry Anderson as a reliever for short-term rental. And Bags was amazing. Now on the flip side, one of the crazy trades that went for us and went against another team was with the Mariners. So back when the Red Sox traded their closer, Heathcliff Slocum, and they got Jason Veritek and Derek Lowe. So if we get Kyle Teal back, it would show a complete level of incompetence that even the Red Sox aren't at, because they traded that expectation of something being great and elite, and now they're giving up on it because they have another catcher that they really, really like, right? So You're going to have to give up a lot of great stuff in order to get someone who, as you mentioned, proven talent, costs a lot. I'm going to struggle getting rid of Conley early if that ends up being part of the package. But if you have Garrett Crochet, Tarik Skubal as your 1-2, the amount of pressure that would have been on Sonny Gray's shoulders to be your number two or your number three immediately evaporates. Because if Sonny Gray is your 4 or 5 in your rotation, I'm not worried. I mean, I've used this as a reference so many times. Look at the Los Angeles Dodgers, for example. Clayton Kershaw on paper was their 7th best starter and finished the year as one of their starters. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is just a freak of flipping nature. It's just stupid what he did in the World Series and the playoffs in general. If Sonny Gray was there, Sonny Gray wouldn't even be their top 10 starter, right? That's what you need to do. You need to eliminate a specific level of pressure from some of these guys. Brian Bello probably should not be your 1 or 2 starter. Sonny Gray has shown that he is at best a 4 starter at this point with I think Terry mentioned like a 91, 92 fastball. Clayton Kershaw had an 87 mile an hour fastball. And then it slowly started ticking up. This is the world we live in, gentlemen. Like, we now live in the hope so's and pray for's, not the absolute lock-ins. Those just aren't happening anymore. They're afraid to take long-term risks. This is going to be a team that's, as we've mentioned before, they're praying that you're just excited about going to Fenway Park, a historic stadium, one of the oldest stadiums in all of professional sports. And hopefully you see a couple home runs. They might not be for your team, but you have a Fenway Frank, you have yourself a beer. Hopefully you remember where you parked or you Ubered or whatever, and you got to see a piece of history. Because what the owners are doing right now, it's catastrophically embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And here's the thing. If you can't even get somebody like Adolis Garcia or Jonah Heim, the Texas Rangers didn't even want him, what are we even doing? Forget about talking about your top 100 free agents. You can't even get those guys, or you're not even interested in those guys, or they may not even want to be here. Forget about the top 100 free agents. You never had a chance. And we talked about this before. It was great to mention all these names. Too bad none of them are coming to Boston. And guess what, guys? They're not in Boston. So it's really, really frustrating. It's really, really annoying. And Jeremy, you don't have to say you were right. I'll say it for you. You were right, right on the button. Because knowing this front office, knowing what we know, you almost had to assume, if anything, it's not going to be that we're going to get an addition. It's going to be one of your bench players is probably going to become a starter because one of your starters is going to be gone. So, yeah, get ready for the 2026 Boston Mid Sox. It's going to be an embarrassing season. Gerrit Crochet is going to go 14-12 with a 2.9 ERA, 200 plus strikeouts, and he's going to have the most in, you know, no decisions probably in 2026 because he's going to allow 0, 1, or 2 runs, and we're either going to lose that game or he's not going to win that game. A 25 win or 22-24 win starter is going to get you 14 wins. It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this team entered free agency with such a clear-cut needs, right? Checklist. To just go down and say, this is this, this is this, this is this. There we go. It was the clearest blueprint that maybe any team has had. And somehow we managed to botch it. You know, the pitching is going to be strong on this team, thank God, because it's not looking like we're going to win games through scoring runs. That really is what it comes down to. The state of this infield is absolutely pitiful. You're counting on too many things to go right. You're counting on Trevor Story to have another great year when all signs point to regression. You're counting on Marcelo Meyer to stay healthy. You're counting on Tristan Casas to return to form of his, 2023 season and stay healthy on top of it. And then at second base, I guess you're planning on maybe Christian Campbell coming out of nowhere or fixing himself. He's not even the projected, you know, everyday second baseman right now. Funnily enough, on FanGraphs, it has Sedan Rafaela earning about half the plate appearances at second base for the season. And that just is that says it all right there. This team had such a clear-cut set of needs, and we are managing to just blow it. And it's embarrassing. You know, the outfield still has a logjam. And sure, if one of those guys goes down via injury or one of those guys falls off a cliff for some reason, you'll be glad to have the players. But when you could trade a Jarren Duran for an impact player at another position, you'd do it. And it's looking like that's off the table. You know, I am not expecting Marte. I am not expecting really anyone at this point. As you guys mentioned earlier in the show, I'm not even entirely expecting a Wilson Contreras trade because
Forget it, Nick.
Yeah. What you brought up, Charlie, about having to give up talent to get talent. You're absolutely right. Because you look at the White Sox return, in addition to a couple other players, I forget everyone who was involved in that, but the White Sox got two clear rookie talent in Kyle Teal and Chase Meidroth, both of whom had really strong debuts and are being projected to have really strong second years. Those guys are very likely to be legit everyday players that a team like the White Sox could really use. And funnily enough, a team like the Red Sox could really use. But at the end of the day, you wipe your hands clean of it and say, you know what? Sure. Do I wish that we had Chase Meidroth? Maybe that would be the answer to our second base problems. Sure. Kyle Teal. All right. But you get such a good player in return. And I don't know what it is. It's almost like, it's almost like Breslow is like learning the wrong lessons from it, right? Instead of learning that, oh yeah, you've got to give to get, he's viewing it as, oh man, I really messed up the Crochet trade, right? I shouldn't have given Teal up. I should have given up someone else. Oh no, did I lose the Crochet trade? That is what's bouncing around his head right now, perhaps. And maybe that's coloring any talks with the Royals, any talks with the Brewers, any talks with the Diamondbacks. and he talks with the Tigers, and he's thinking to himself, you know, when it comes to Scooble or Peralta or Reagans or Marte or anyone else, oh, gee, I really hope, oh, man, I've got to give up one of Early or Tolley. But what if one of them turns out really great and the other one doesn't? Oh, man, how do I figure out in my crystal ball which one of them is actually going to be legit? Who do I hold on to? You know, you can't be scared at the end of the day. Because, yeah, there's always going to be the possibility that you completely blow a trade and you go and you look back and say, man, we gave up that prospect and he turned into this all-star. Oh, no. But, I mean, your sights should really just be focused on the now. We are in our window. The kids are here, right? It's time to go ahead and supplement the roster with talent to put us over the edge for 2026 and 27. And at this point, I mean, it's looking like these years could be very rough. You know, you get past 26, Patrick Sandoval's money comes off the books. You get past 27, and then Jordan Hicks is off the books, Aroldis Chapman, Sonny Gray. You know, we're getting towards the end of the, you know, the Trevor Story money. We're getting towards the end of the Yoshida money. But what good is all that money going to do if you're just going to turn around and hand it to some other mediocre player or not spend it at all?
How about just try? Like, I, at this point, I don't even know if I'd be upset if it didn't work out. Just try. Try to improve the team. I mean, this is obviously a bigger issue, and I know we're getting towards the end here, but, like, it just goes back to the hire. You know, it's the 11th guy. It's all the people that had the experience that turned us down. He doesn't have any experience doing the job that he's doing. His experience is only what he's done doing the job. And here's the other thing. Whatever we show up with at opening day, that's the team. They've admitted they don't have an interest in trying to improve the club at the deadline or during the season because it's, quote, inefficient, whatever the hell that means. So the reason why I am in particular upset, even though it's still December technically, and I'm hopeful I'm wrong that there's moves coming, but one of the reasons why I get frustrated when the top guys are gone is because I know that once pitchers and catchers report, that's the team.
What else can you say? I mean, honestly, that's it. And you almost knew at the end. I mean, the most embarrassing and frustrating thing, it's not even confusing at this point because we already know what's happening. The most frustrating thing is that you've got a team that had elite power, proper contracts, something to go off of. That's now gone. I don't blame anybody that looks at the Boston Red Sox and says, no, I want to go to a team that cares. I want to go to a team where I can actually like be with my family and, you know, start a family or be here for the next 5 to 10 years without the risk or concern of having to pack up my bags either midway through the season or after 1 or 2 years, especially after signing a mega deal. So I don't blame any player that doesn't want to come. It's up to the Boston Red Sox to overpay now, which is why Alex Bregman signed a 3-120 with opt-outs after every year. He's not a $40 million player. He looked like he could have been something special, but then flamed out. He's not going to be good. I pray that Alex Bregman does not come back to the Boston Red Sox. And you know, someone could say, oh, well, then you're complaining. You don't get anybody. No, because I don't want a player to come to Boston, sign a contract, and then start complaining because of said contract. That's not how this works, buddy. You sign a contract, perform to your contract, and shut the up. That's it. Just do that, please. That's it. We're dealing with enough crap. We don't have to also deal with yours. So, yeah, no. I mean, we had one person write a comment. You know, the Red Sox are going to say, you know, they offered Michael King 2 years, $20 million, and say that they tried. Guess what? That's too many years. It's one too many years. And it'll probably end up being two too many years because Michael King is going to want even more money and he's going to want more years and the Red Sox won't do it. So get ready for the Mid Sox. It's going to be an epic year. We're going to get throttled. I got nothing else.
Yeah, I think the commitment to efficiency to such a degree that it cuts yourself down, I think that probably is a really good summation of the Red Sox's problems right now. The deadline, not only this year, didn't make the team better, it actively made the team and organization worse. I mean, Dustin May come on, dude. I'd rather have Tibbs still in the system than Dustin May. I'll tell you that right now. And when it comes to free agents, I agree. I think, you know, we're done looking at the Alonzos. We're done even looking at the Polancos. You need to start looking at your one-year rejects, right? Your guys who are just looking for a bounce-back deal or something like that. So I actually pulled those up on FanGraphs here, just sorting through some infielders that we might be looking at. It's time to stop talking about Alonzo. It's time to start talking about Miguel Andujar, about Rhys Hoskins, Victor Caratini, IKF, Paul Goldschmidt, Josh Bell, Carlos Santana. Get excited, everyone. Maybe Kike Hernandez can come back. That is pretty much where we're at right now. Those $5 to $8 million guys on one-year deals, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And, you know, the Red Sox are just hoping that Casas pulls it together, that Meyer stays healthy, and Craig Breslow can you know, laugh in October saying, you see, we had all the winning pieces in our hands all along. I told you so. And if that happens, I will happily eat my words and say, congratulations, you guys saw something that I didn't. You guys had a lot more faith in the organization than I did, and it paid off. And I hope that's what happens, obviously, because, you know, to your guys' point earlier, some people accuse us of not being Red Sox fans. I'm absolutely a Red Sox fan. I'm just tired of the Red Sox ruining my days. And that's what they've been doing a whole lot of, you know, for the past few years. Dang. You know, so fingers crossed that we can figure something out here, man. Obviously, they could sign Bregman or Bichette or make a crazy trade. Anything is possible. It's Schrodinger's cat right now. But opening day, there's a lot of reason to be worried. And I don't think it's just cynicism or pessimism even at this point. I think it's just pattern recognition. I think that's all I have to say right now. Any final words, boys?
Hope I'm wrong.
We'll cut it there then. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, for listening. It's been a very active night in chat. We do appreciate it. I'm always reading the chat. Even though we don't always comment on things. So thank you so much for listening, for watching, for chatting away. Fingers crossed this team can pull something great off and give us all something to root for next year. My name is Ben Nick, joined by Jeremy and Charlie. We have been the Bastards of Boston. Thank you so much, and take care, everyone. Go Red Sox.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
League One Volleyball is back. The world's best players together on American soil. This is volleyball like you've never seen before. Huge swings, massive blocks, jaw-dropping digs. A sport where every play is a highlight. League One Volleyball returns January 7th, 2026 with teams in Atlanta, Austin, Houston, Madison, Nebraska, and Salt Lake. To buy tickets, visit lovb.com/iHeart.